Praise the Lord, church. You can be seated tonight. I was up in Eau Claire, and I had a daytime session where I spoke, and we talked about focusing on the fishbowl or focusing on the pond. And we talked about the fishbowl. I just want to throw a few things out here because we're going to shift our focus going into this year. I feel over the last few years we've focused a lot about internal change here at Calvary Gospel Church because a lot of things have changed internally. And I feel a lot of the focus has been on the fishbowl and the church being the fishbowl. And you know how it can be. We can have those fish. We can go to the pet store and we can buy our fish, bring them home and set up our little fish bowl. We put our little gravel in the bottom of it and we got a little pirate ship that we put down there. Get the little air stone that blows out through the hole in the side of the ship. We got all kinds of little fish in the ship or all kinds of fish in a little bowl. And if we're not careful, you know, we can focus all on that bowl. Everything is on that bowl. And I'm making reference to that bowl as being the church, where that all of the focus can be on that bowl and what's in that bowl. We have fish come and we have fish go. You know how it can be. You've had a fish bowl. You have those fish that are always seemingly sickly, always having struggles. You have the fish that is always going around with the broken, the angel fish. I don't think I've ever seen an angel fish without a broken fin. You got the fish that are like the neons that says, "Here I am, look at me," but they really don't do a whole lot. Then you got the little guy at the bottom that's the bowl. He's the scavenger of the bowl, and he's going around, and he's just sucking up everybody's messes. And he's happy and could be because he's got forever food sources. Those are the people in the church that go around and they know everybody else's business. Uh-oh. Listen, every church has them. We're all part of this. You have the Siamese fighting fish, you know that? You can only have one in a tank. Only one in a church because as soon as they see a life, a similar, as soon as they see another, they call them betas. And Brittany's got one in her office in a bowl. You want to get one stirred up, boy, I'm here, put another one in the tank. And they'll flare up. And so we talked about that. And that's not my topic tonight. But I just want to just kind of throw this out there because we're going to start making a shift here and a change. Because we need to start focusing more on the pond. We need to have, boy, I'm not getting very many amens on this, but we have a world out there that we have to win. So go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. So I just want to throw that out as food for thought for right now. Tonight we're going to be talking about it's not the wind that determines the direction, but it's the set of the sail. It's the set of the sail. A number of years ago, Jason Sisko came here. I think it was actually probably the last time he came here, and he was in one of our staff meetings. And we had a very powerful move of the Lord in that staff meeting. We had a tongues interpretation. And he began to speak, and he likened Calvary Gospel Church as an icebreaker, a large ship going through ice. And at that time, where we were as a church, we were pushing and breaking a lot of ice, overcoming a lot of obstacles, a lot of things we were trying to break through in the spirit world as well as just with ministries here at Calvary Gospel Church. But he said he saw the ship, he saw clear water ahead, and he saw the ship as we entered into the clear water, that all of the ice that was stuck to the side of the ship that as we begin to gain speed, we begin to gain momentum, that all of that ice that was stuck to the side of the ship was beginning to break off in large chunks. Now, I feel that we're right at that point where God is saying, I want to release this church. I think we've gone through a process. As I begin to reflect some of this, and over the last few years, we've gone through, for 3 years now, every year we've gone through a fast in the month of January. I don't know if you keep track of things like this. That's why we have journals, and that's why I encourage you to read in your journals. But I felt like that the first year was just a disciplinary fast. We had never done anything that long, that duration before. As a church, we'd gone 7 days and such, but it was a time of self-discipline. And we made it. We got through it, and God spoke to us and said that he was pleased. And then we went into last year, and I feel that last year, when we went into the fast, for me personally, it was more of a battle with my flesh, struggling with direction personally in my own life. And of course, each and every one of us, we enter into a fast with particular objectives. I looked through all of the various objectives that we wish to accomplish in this fast, and perhaps the last fast that we've struggled, some of us have struggled to overcome past issues and deep personal hurts and such. And one of the underlying themes of this last fast that you had written down was a deeper level of personal discipline and a deeper level of relationship with God. And I feel that as we entered into our second week of this our last fast here, I'd said before that I just kind of really got into just a level of struggle that I never really anticipated. We all have those moments, and I spoke of this to the congregation. I spoke of fighting a battle on three fronts. We fight against our flesh because our flesh doesn't want to submit. We have pride. We covered all of that. I spoke of we battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. We spoke of battling against the enemy of our souls, where that we are fighting a spiritual battle here. But then sometimes we have a struggle with God. And that's kind of where I'm going to go tonight. I'm not going to get into specifics. As I was fighting against my flesh at times, we become frustrated with ourselves due to the fact that we feel that God is requiring of us to step into a new level. And I have to say that sometimes we become a bit fearful, because we don't really quite understand and know exactly what God is calling us to step into. We just feel that pull. And I really feel that as we went through this and as we came out of this, that God was just really challenging me. I spoke of this 2 weeks ago on Sunday morning. Do we really, really trust God? Now, we can say very easily that, yes, I trust God. But do we trust God totally in every area and every aspect of our lives? You see, we by nature, we like to exhibit a level of control in our lives. That's what our flesh, that's what we like to do. We like to control things. We like to say, yes, I will do this. No, I won't do that. But if we get beyond that level of control, where that we say, okay, God, I want to give you full control of my life, every aspect of my life, we become fearful because we're afraid at what this may cost us in the long run. And we struggle with this. As I said, it was a week ago Thursday that it seemed like within me that all of this just kind of broke. And really it was as if a giant dam of of pressures, and it's hard to really put a finger on every aspect of it, but it just felt like something within me, that a weight was released within me, and God began to fill that released space with a level of confidence in Him. Sometimes we don't trust God because we don't have confidence. This all runs together, folks. We don't trust Him when we get behind the pulpit, or we don't have the confidence that when we say God is going to do this, in the back of our minds we're thinking, is God really going to do this? I don't know, Brother Thompson last Wednesday night spoke on healing and touched over some of this, but when we say, I feel God wants to do this tonight, but then in the back of our minds we're thinking, well, is God really going to do what I feel that He wants to do? And what God is asking us to do is, when we have complete full trust in Him, we have complete full confidence that He's going to do what He tells us He's going to do. Because sometimes our bailout in all of this, or our cop-out in all of this, is, well, if it's God's will. We like to throw that out there all the time. Well, you know, if it's God's will. Well, what do you mean if it's God's will that all should be saved? Yes, it's God's will that the whole world should be saved. Is the whole world going to be saved? No, because God's will can't supersede our own will. That's why we have these struggles all the time. God can't save us against our will. God can't force us to do something. That's where the trust comes in, and that's where the confidence comes in. And I began to feel in the Spirit a clear set of direction in my life, as well as for the church, as well as for our ministries. As I said, the past few years, folks, we've gone through a transition, and you know what? I'm done transitioning. I'm just going to tell you, we may make some adjustments, but we're done transitioning. It's time for us to move forward. It's time for us to say, okay, God, where do You want us to go? What are you expecting of us? I'm appreciative of all of the patience and such, that because a lot of things have changed in the last few years, but we've made those needed adjustments, and now it's time for us to press forward. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. And this is our series passage. We're going to talk about this Sunday morning and Sunday night as well. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now that right there, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, we just talked about resetting our mindsets. And how crucial and important it is that we take our minds and we allow God to reset our thinking process. Because it's our thinking process, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge. That means to have a readiness to retaliate all disobedience, so that when we feel disobedience, or when we feel this opposing spirit that comes against us, remember, the scripture tells us the greatest works of Satan are done through who? The children of disobedience. That's us. We can be Satan's greatest tool at times and not even know it. Sometimes we know it. Sometimes we're actually giddy of the fact that we know it. Having a readiness to revenge, to retaliate all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Church, every decision we make in our lives are really born out of a set of core values that we each and every one of us have. Now, what I value and what you value overall in our lives may be very different. Okay, you may put a lot of value on your car. I may not put much value on a car. It's just a tool to get me from A to B. Okay? I'm not talking about that set of values. I'm talking about our core spiritual values. We are all born out of a core set of values, and these values are what determines our direction that we take in our lives. If Jesus Christ is the center of my life and he's the center of your life, then our values will reflect as such. Now, you can tell me that you value coming to church, but if you're only here once a month, that's not a core value for you. Okay? It's not high on your list of priorities. If Jesus is the center of our lives, then our values will reflect as such when we make decisions based upon those core values. Our decisions, we will, if our core value is God's word, and that is our core structure, then you know what? We're never going to be making really bad decisions. You wonder, why do some people never make bad decisions and some people are always making? What is their core set of values? We have spoken concerning the resetting of our minds. As we reset our minds correctly based upon the principles of God, we covered a number of those. As a man thinketh, so is he. So as we reset our minds, our decision process follows that. We think right, we become right. I'm reminded of a story that I read. It was a battleship. It was in the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Canada. The North Sea Fleet was on an exercise in bad weather, and the captain was on the bridge. It was foggy. It was raining. And just after dark, the lookout spotted a light on the starboard side of the ship, and the captain asked if it was steady or if the light was moving. The lookout replied that the light was steady, meaning they were on a direct collision course with another ship. The captain ordered the lookout signal to the other ship to change its course 20 degrees. That we are on a collision course. The signal came back, advisable for you to change your course. The captain signaled, "I am the captain. I'm in a battleship. Change your course 20 degrees. The reply came back, "I'm a seaman, second class. You had better change your course 20 degrees. The captain was furious. He was the captain. This was a seaman, second class. He sends back, "I'm a battleship. We're in a battle group. Change your course." The signal came back, "I am a lighthouse. You make the call." You see, it's time for us to set the sail, church. A lot of you know that I love trains. Trains don't have sails. I just want to let you know that. Some of the earlier versions attempting, they actually put sails on. But anyway, my second love, I guess I'd have to say, I love ships. I love the water. I love to go sit by the lake. Sit out in the boat and feel the waves as they gently rock the boat. I love to watch big sailboats. And it's always fascinated me. I've been sitting out in our fishing boat out on Lake Monona. Been sitting out there and watching all of these sailboats. And the canops are sailors. They have a lot more knowledge about this than I have. But it always amazed me how that the sailboats could glide so smoothly across the water. They just glide across the water, and some boats, when you look at them, I'm looking at sailboats, and the wind is blowing, and they're all moving one direction, and I always saw, what do they do when they get to the other side of the lake? And you'd watch those same sailboats that get to the other side of the lake, and they just turn around, and they come sailing back around the other direction, and you're just like, now how do they do that? I can feel which way the wind is blowing. They're all moving in the same direction as the wind, but some were moving with the wind and some were moving against the wind. And I didn't understand how that was possible until I started. The wind is supposed to propel the boat, And if the wind propels the boat forward, then how can the wind propel the boat going backwards, switching directions? And it was only until later that I discovered that it really didn't have a whole lot to do with the wind at all. It had to do with the way the sail was set. And that's for this series. That's why we're saying this. It's the set of the sail. I truly feel tonight that God is calling us, this church, to set our sails and allow the winds of the Holy Ghost to fill them, thus setting us up on a direction that God chooses for us to go. But it all falls down to being obedient to God. We've talked about pride, humility, how pride gives way to humility. And as we humble ourselves before God, our trust in God grows, and as our trust in God grows, so grows our faith. To every man is given a measure of faith. We can no longer allow the winds of fear to sail our boats. And sometimes we can become afraid. Brothers and sisters, we cannot afford to let others blow their winds into our sail. There's all kinds of spirits out there in the world that would love to take your sail and fill it up. And the minute we allow another wind to control our sail, then they control our destiny and they control our lives. So our winds must remain set to receive our sails must remain set to receive the correct winds of the Holy Ghost if we're going to go in the right direction. Remember, it's not how much wind that is blowing. It doesn't take a lot of wind to move a large sailing vessel. What it takes is an adjustment in the sail to determine the speed of that vessel. And there's no other God like our God. And we must depend, we must trust, and we must have faith that God will give us the direction. We will set our sail in that direction, and we will sail with His Spirit. I don't want to go anywhere if God isn't in it. I don't want to do anything if God isn't in it. So either we're going to sit around and wait for God to get in it, or we're going to seek to find the direction of God, and we're going to find that sweet spot, and we're going to set our sail, and we're going to allow the Holy Ghost to come in and begin to push and begin to move us where God wants us to go. When we set our bow in the direction of glorifying God, being obedient to His calling, when we purpose in our hearts that this is where God wants us to go, when we determine that this is our passion, God will move powerfully among us. We must not only set our sails, but we must learn to adjust them according to the circumstances. As we set our sails in the winds of the Spirit, sometimes it takes adjustments within those sails. You just don't set that sail and never make another adjustment at all. This is where leadership, this is how we get from point A to point B. We determine what's our passion and we allow God to move us along. And we learn to adjust according to the circumstances. The enemy has so many winds that are ready to blow into our sails that will keep us from attaining the mission that God has called us. The winds are going to certainly blow as we fight against the principalities and the powers of our community. Remember, it's not the wind that determines the direction of the boat, but it's the set of the sail. So I want to ask you tonight personally, who are you allowing in your life to set your sail? Are you following after God? We just went through this fast, and as Brother Brian said, it doesn't take very long for us to just snap back into a lifestyle of enjoying. It doesn't take very many Culvers to get over a fast, I can tell you. You see, church, the set of your sail is a prevailing philosophy that you have in your life. It comes out of your attitude of life, your outlook of life, and your faith in God, and the winds of life are going to shape them and mold them unless we allow the Word and the Spirit of God to do that in our lives. That's why some of us are going to take off in the Holy Spirit, and God is going to use us mightily in the Holy Ghost, and some are going to sit and be frustrated because they can feel the winds blowing around them, but they're not moving. It's simply because you have not made the adjustments and you have not been willing to set your sail in tune with the power of the Holy Ghost. We sail according to the set of our sail. If life is to change us, we must change the setting of our sails so that no other wind but His wind can blow into our vessel. As we read tonight, we walk in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. We're going to constantly have to be battling with our flesh. That battle is never going to go away. But we have to understand that our weapons, the weapons that we fight, we don't fight the enemy with our flesh. We fight the enemy with the Word of God. Our weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That gives me faith and confidence that when I go to fight the battles that will be set at my feet, that if I go using what I have learned and what I know that are principles that I live by in my life that are founded on the Word of God, what does this say? But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. The Word of God is the knowledge of God. We have a lot of knowledge of God. We need to combine our knowledge with wisdom, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. When we allow God to direct the setting of our sails, we can expect a much different result in our lives. We can obtain a totally new perspective of the issues that surround us. Our sails no longer respond to the thoughts which formerly propel them. But we now have a new wind that is filling those sails and pushing our boat in a new direction. You see, we can never underestimate the power of God's Word to change lives. I think sometimes we just feel that the Word of God, that when the Word of God, it goes forth, it's a seed. And when that seed goes forth, Brother Jerry Simmons spoke of this on Sunday night, did a beautiful job. We have to have faith and confidence that when we sow seed, that seed is going to do what God intended for it to do. The Word of God can tear down strongholds that the enemy has built in our minds. Sometimes the greatest battles we fight are between our two ears. They're right in our minds. Church, it's time we pay attention to the setting of our sails. The winds are coming. We have to pay attention where it's going to drive us. Now, using this analogy of setting the sail, when the wind fills the sail, the boat has power. Acts 1 and 8 says, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you," to move us in the direction that Holy Ghost wind is blowing us. Understand, it's not our job to determine which way we want the wind to blow. It's not our job to always determine just exactly where God is and where God's going. If we keep adjusting our sails in the direction in which the wind of the Holy Spirit's already blowing, then our sails will always be full of the Holy Ghost. We have to, you ever wonder sometimes, and I read of Peter and of Paul and the disciples, how they went around and they were so full of the Holy Ghost. So full of the Holy Ghost. And sometimes I think we like to be full of the Holy Ghost at church, but when we get out into our world, we're not so full of the Holy Ghost. They went with boldness. I'm praying that God would release His church with an understanding, with power, with authority, and with boldness. Not belligerence, but boldness. So, if we're filled, how do we stay full? We come in service after service and we can get filled up on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night, and by Tuesday we're already, our boat's just dead in the water. We haven't made those adjustments. We can see other boats just zipping by us. And we're like, how come they're going by and we're just sitting here? You see, it's because we continually struggle with surrendering full control over to Jesus Christ. You see, being filled with the Spirit starts with a loss of control. Did you understand that? When we're full of the Holy Ghost, if we're full of the Holy Ghost, then we will surrender control of our lives over to God. And being filled with the Spirit starts, the beginning of being filled with the Spirit starts with the loss of control, or giving Him the control. The Holy Spirit calls the shots, not us. When God calls us to repentance, He's calling us to surrender our way of living for His way. And we just struggle with that. Maybe I'm the only one that struggles with that. Maybe everybody else here has got this down pat, and I'm just preaching it myself tonight. But surrendering control. The reason I know we haven't got to that point is because we're not seeing the effects of what that really means when we surrender full control. When we surrender full control, we will see the effects of this. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. This is mean to become under the full influence of the Holy Ghost. That means that we have to take ourselves out of the driver's seat, and we've got to put God and allow God to be in the control. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We have to saturate ourselves in the Word. You see, if we want the Holy Ghost to lead us and guide us, then we need to understand, listen, and hear His voice and recognize its promptings. And if we're never reading the Word, we will never understand and know what that means. I talk to a lot of people, a lot of Christians, not just in this church, but do you understand and do you know, do you listen for the voice of God? And if God speaks to you, do you react according to what it says? Or do you argue with that? I find that most of the time we like to argue with that voice. And the more we argue with it, the less times we hear it, because God after a while says, you know what, I can't talk to Brian because every time I try to talk to him, he wants to argue with me. You ever have any children that are that way? Parents? I'm trying to help you. You want help. You're praying. You're asking me for help. I'm trying to give you help, but you want to argue with me about it all the time. And we wonder why God no longer or limits the amount of time that He spends speaking to us. We have to saturate ourselves in the Word. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. We have to saturate ourselves, and the Holy Ghost will. So many times it will use specific scriptures. We open up and we begin to read passages of scripture. And it guides us. It's like our own, it's like an internal GPS system that guides us. The more we meditate on scripture, the bigger we build our sails. And the easier it is for us to recognize when God is speaking to us. And this brings me to our third point here. Talk with God throughout the day, every day. And I'm just going to just be really, really just almost elementary on this. You see, there's a vast difference. I was talking with Brother Steve Rogers this past week, and he was talking about their prayer meetings, and we were sharing about our prayer meetings, and I just was so excited. I want to thank Brother Blake and Brother Glenn Useman for our revival, our all-church prayer meetings, because God has just really been doing a great work in our prayer meetings. And he said, I encourage our people when we come to a prayer meeting to pray and use their outside voices. Something Sister Vicki Oliver's taught us when it comes to worship and praise. the four steps of worship, use your outside voice. But then there are times when we don't have to use our outside voice. People may think that I'm out of my mind when they're driving on the road. They probably think I'm talking on the Bluetooth on my phone, which sometimes I do, but sometimes I just talk with God as if I had a passenger in the car. I don't know about you, but I get bored. I don't want to listen to Rush Limbaugh. I get tired of all of that junk. Sometimes I don't want to listen to music. I just want to have a conversation. There's nobody there to have a conversation with, so I take that time. I'm not talking about this is your daily prayer time where that we spend alone with God, where we do some, maybe we had a bad day and we did some things or said some things or reacted in ways. And, you might want to set the tone on the drive home and say, God, I didn't have a very good day. And tonight, later after the kids are in bed, we'll talk about it. But we need to talk to God throughout the day. Jesus says in John 3:8, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Sometimes we need to approach prayer that way. Adjusting the sails of the Holy Ghost means remaining constantly vigilant to where and how the wind of the Holy Ghost is blowing. So if we're at work, or if we're at a restaurant, or wherever we may be, we need to listen to that wind. It's not always a fierce storm. Sometimes it's just a gentle breeze of God blowing into our mind. And we need to listen to that. So we need to talk with God throughout the day. And as I said before, there's a lot of times I just pull up a chair. I just set it down and say, God, sometimes in my office, staff thinks I'm on the phone and I'm actually just having a conversation with God. There's nothing wrong with that. Because you see, God's looking for relationship. He's not looking for a relationship where someone comes in once a month and just does nothing but scream for 30 minutes and then they walk out. And sometimes that's the development. That's how we treat God. We come in, we release ourselves, we yell and holler and complain about everything in our lives that's going wrong, and then we just stomp out. And God's saying, you never gave me an opportunity to even talk back to you. You never gave me an opportunity to respond. And God is looking for relationship with His church. Allow the Spirit of God to constantly move within your life. And we need to be constantly pay attention and be attentive to what He's trying to tell us. I shared a few stories with you two weekends ago concerning just simple things in my life where I feel that God is talking to me about something and giving me a direct command to go somewhere at a specific time. And if I would not have done that, if I would not have listened, I would have missed out on an opportunity that God had set up. I think sometimes we just get in such a rush, we get in such a hurry, that we don't take the time to listen. We talk to God, we petition Him, but we never take the time to allow for God to reply back to us. Because we have our schedule. We're busy. We got to get things done, God. And God, if you're going to talk to me, you're going to have to talk to me because my minutes are almost up. I'm running out of time. I'm running out of data. Talk, Lord. And God says, I can't have a relationship like that. So pray without ceasing. Paul tells the church in 1 Thessalians 5:17, I never really understood what that meant until God began to speak to me about just having a casual but a meaningful relationship, a casual conversation but a meaningful relationship with Him. And I think Paul wasn't telling us to go around at the top of our voice every day, all day long, praying outside playground voices. He was telling us, you know what? Be in a constant, ready state to talk to God. If you're at work and things aren't going bad, or things are going wrong, or if you're at work and someone comes into the break room and they sit down and they begin to cry and you don't know what the problem is, when it says pray without ceasing, Paul is telling the church right there to be ready within a moment's notice to be able to go to the throne room of God on the behalf of whatever situation that you're standing in front of at that point in time. You see, a dialogue is listening, is part listening to God. And we need to work on the discipline. We need to be aware of God's presence. You know, God, I don't know if you know this or not, but when we have the Holy Ghost inside of us, that means when we go to Walmart, God goes to Walmart. Did you know that? God doesn't stay in the car. When we go out to the restaurant, when we go to Pizza Hut or we go to Culver's or wherever we go, God doesn't say, you know what, I'm going to stay here. You go ahead and go on in because I'm fasting today. I don't want to be tempted. No, God, wherever our Holy Ghost in us goes, that's wherever we go, that's where the Holy Ghost goes. We go to the ball field. We take our kids to soccer games. You know what? God is right there everywhere. And if we're sensitive to God, we become sensitive through relationship. How do my wife and I, how do we get along so well after all of these years? Is because we're sensitive in relationship and in dialogue. Every time we get together to talk, we don't just yell at each other. You can get in a habit of that, you know. That's a whole nother. You see, if we become sensitive, we will find that the wind of the Holy Spirit is all around us, wherever we go, as we go throughout our day. If we go to Walmart, the Holy Ghost, the wind is slowly blowing through Walmart. You go to the restaurant, the wind of God is slowly blowing in all those places. It's not just within the four walls of this church. The last point I want to cover is obedience, because the first three of these, talking with God throughout the day, saturating ourselves in the Word of God, none of this is going to work unless we obey God. None of this works. It's all predicated upon obedience to God. The Holy Ghost doesn't speak to us just to amuse us, nor does it advise us on what car to buy or what color. Okay? Now, you may disagree with that statement, but we don't always have to have the Holy Ghost tell us what to do every minute of every day. Okay? If you can't afford the car, you can't buy the car. Sometimes color has nothing to do with it. Affordability has everything to do with it. But the Holy Ghost doesn't just talk to us just to amuse us. It's not like an Ann Landers type thing. Boy, that's going way back, isn't it? It's not a Dr. Phil. There we go. We'll bring this up a little more relevant for today. It's not a Dr. Phil type of a thing going on here. You see, when we look at Acts chapter 16, we find Paul as he seeks guidance from the Holy Ghost to take this gospel to Asia. From Asia to Europe. And he's praying and he's seeking. And as a result of this prayer, as a result of praying and seeking after the Holy Ghost, world history was changed forever as a result of him seeking after the Holy Ghost. But you see, he not only listened to the Holy Ghost. It's one thing to listen to the Word of God and God give you a word or God tell you something. But then we have to act upon what He tells us. We have to obey that voice. And sometimes we just really, really struggle with that. Now understand something. This is something that I'm learning as well. But if God were to speak to me and tell me, you need to talk to that particular individual because this, this, and this is going on in their life. Do you think God is just trying to take and mess with your head? Think about that. You say, oh, man, God's just testing me. No, this individual has a problem in their life, and God sent you to help them with that problem. But we're afraid. How many of you understand what I'm talking about here? What God is saying, listen, if I go to the trouble, and this is where learning about being sensitive in the Holy Ghost, This is making sure that your sail has the adjustments it needs so that when the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, that wind blows, you're right where you need to be. And God says, I want you to talk to this person. I want you to pray for this person because I'm going to move through you and that person's going to be healed. And we argue with God. I'm just praying that church that we would be able to take and what God has called us to do. When we surrender our control, the very first point, when we surrender our control, we saturate ourselves in the Word of God. We talk with God throughout the day and we obey the Holy Ghost. We obey the promptings of the Holy Ghost. We keep our sails set full of the Spirit and God will take us exactly where He wants us to go. As a church and as an individual. Because God has set a course for this church, but God has also set a course for you as an individual. So let's stand tonight if our musicians can come. Sometimes we say, well, you know, God, I'm not for sure what you want me to do. Can I just tell you that the safest thing to do is the last thing that you know God told you to do? If we just keep doing the last thing He told us to do, then you know what? We're going to make it. Because God's going to lead us. God's going to guide us. God's going to direct us. And God is teaching us, church. We've gone through some great growth spurts, if I can put it that way. But I really feel so strong that when we were last week, and Dr. Dobbs is going to be down in Oak Creek again, and I hope he shares this, that he just had felt in the Spirit, and it's the same thing we've been talking about here, that God is seeking to move across this world in a mighty revival. And God is positioning His church. And church, we have fought too long. We fought too many battles. We fought too hard to miss the adjustments of our sails and miss out on what God has called us to do. So I just want to challenge you tonight. This is not a deep message. It's not something that, it's just one of those common sense, this is how we need to live every day of our lives. So I just want to take and give you an opportunity tonight. Say, you know what, Lord? You got a great plan in my life. You got a great plan for this church. But I don't want to miss that. I don't want to go through 21 days of fasting and then miss the point. We don't have another 21 days, church. We've got to make the adjustments. We've got to allow that Holy Ghost to move into our lives and fill up our sails and set us in the direction that God is calling us to go. So if our praise team, if you'd like to sing. I just want to open up this altar as just a time, a chance to just come down and say, God, I need to make some adjustments. I'm not too far off, Lord, but I'm not sailing as efficient as I should be sailing.
Down to the altar.